In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We heard Kevin Stefanski speak earlier. Kevin had such vibrant things to say, it shredded the microphone. So we're working on a new microphone out in Berea so we can hear from the players.
How about that?
That's all, man. A joke.
I mean, really? Oh,
yeah, I thought that was sorry true. About that.
Oh, man. Totally changed my day on that then.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to mess you up there.
It's okay. It's all good.
It's okay?
Yeah, you know what? Did I ever tell you that Nick Wilson and Spencer German cover everything from Ohio State, the biggest college football stories around the nation during their Sons of the Shoe podcast? Subscribe now on the Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes each week of the college football season.
Well, see, now that's good to know.
Yeah, it's always good to know. Yeah, Buckeyes are off this week.
I like that. I've mentioned I kind of like some of Jacksonville's talent, and I think they can be a team that could do some things in the AFC this year. One of those teams that might jump up and be a little bit more than you thought. They didn't win their first game against Miami. It didn't go well for them. But their coach, Doug Peterson, I think is an interesting guy, former Browns quarterback.
Right.
And he made a comment today in his press conference that was, let's let him say it. It's about okay. The Browns and their offense and the quarterback and everything else. Let Doug say it, and then we'll interpret.
You got talent there. I think they're still working through some things, getting on the same page with the quarterback and all that. But listen, it's the NFL. These guys can light it up at any time. So, you know, we have to be prepared this week and you know, stay focused on us.
That was fair, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I read a quote that I thought it was a little different than that. Okay.
That sounds. I mean, that's valid. They're still trying to get on the same page. Quarterback played 5 games last year. Yeah. 6, but he left the 1 very early. So I think that's fair, don't you?
Yeah, I thought, you know, at first I read it and it was like, oh, they need to get on the same page as their quarterback. And I was like, don't you mean the quarterback needs? And then I'm like, Doug Peterson said that? And I was like, but to hear him say it, it's interesting that it's not what I thought it was. They know what they're getting themselves into with the Browns this week. They know exactly. I mean, they got the same film that we got the same film on them, and you know, they got the home game. I don't know. What does that mean in the NFL, playing at home? You tell me.
It means if you're not as good of a team as the visiting team, chances are you're going to lose, despite the fact there are more people cheering for you.
Okay, good answer.
That's what it means.
In Jacksonville, do they really have home field advantage there?
Yeah, for the games in London.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, you know, they have such home field advantage there that, you know, they had to put the swimming pool in, and then they also play half their games on the other side of the gigantic pool known as the ocean.
Sure. Don't you think?
Yeah. I'm ready for the game.
Don't go that. We've got 2 more days of fun to talk about.
No, I know.
I'm ready for a game too, but no, don't go there.
But I also think that the way they lost on Sunday, you cannot get to the game fast enough. I said to somebody when I was walking
You mean the Browns, not Jackson?
Yes, no, the Browns. I was walking out of the press room on Sunday night, and I turned to somebody who walked by, and I was like, hey, what'd you think? And they're like, ugh. We both are like, ugh. I'm like, I can't wait for Wednesday to get here so we can turn the page on this week, because you know we're going to continue to talk about what went wrong on Sunday rather than what can they do right to get to next Sunday. So maybe there's a little less pressure on them this week. They're, you know, not national TV. No one cares who's calling the game. Like, is that not one of the most overrated stories of all time?
What?
Tom Brady being in the booth. When's the last time We thought we were like, oh, I can't wait to hear what the announcer.
What was wrong with that?
I don't know. Can you ever remember a game that was that hyped for an announcer? I don't care. Just put yourself in my shoes. Use the word announcer.
Please, God, no.
Use the word announcer rather than Tom Brady. Can you ever remember a game where people were more curious about what somebody sounded like in the booth and what they were going to be like as an analyst? And then turn and look at what the numbers were last weekend. They were gigantic. I also think the influx of gambling has something to do with that, with legalized gambling, you know, getting bigger and bigger every year when you look at what the ratings were. But it, going to the Tom Brady part of the story, it's like, okay, it's Tom Brady. I get it. I understand. I mean, yeah, this is going to be fun. And yeah, Fox is paying him a lot of money. But I like stories and analysis and, you know, and then it's even more messed up because he's trying to be part of the ownership group with Vegas. And that, and like he can't imagine trying to be a color analyst or a play-by-play guy that doesn't have the opportunity to go sit down and talk with a coach before a game. You know, you look at that, and so that, and then that word got out that he wasn't allowed to do that, and the story just got bigger and bigger and bigger. But really, at the end of the day, it's a guy talking football to you while you're watching.
It's not a guy.
It is.
It's the greatest quarterback to ever play.
Oh,
and it pains me to say that because I'm not sure that he is, but it's hard to argue with it. Hard to argue with it. There were other quarterbacks I liked more. The guy was phenomenal, Andy. And yes, it was worthy of a big deal. Fox signed him to a 10-year whatever the heck contract it was.
Which probably won't last if he goes over and becomes minority owner in another team.
Maybe. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know. All I know is I was anxious to hear him. And I thought he had a rough start, and then I thought he got a lot better.
I was more excited to see what the new onside kick looked like than to hear him do it. Although I didn't get to listen to him do the game because I was there, so.
If he ended up being a minority owner, would you care?
I don't care.
Heavens, like, no.
Would you care with him calling a game? Just, hey, don't call a Raider game?
I wouldn't care at all.
Yeah, you know, what's it's not like he's the majority owner. I mean, like, think about, remember
he
when Jimmy Haslam,
a small piece of the team.
Jimmy Haslam knows everything about the way the Steelers are run.
Really? Really?
I mean, I get the general idea that, like, you want, he wouldn't be able to be allowed in the meeting, so he wouldn't know what was coming, wouldn't know game plan, but it's Tom Brady. Like, I would be okay if he was just walking out there and just watching what's happening on the field in front of him.
Yeah, walking around the field and talking to guys before the game, who knows? Remember how influential Usher was in helping the Cavaliers win that championship?
Yes, I do.
The decisions.
That's what the minority ownership can do for
you. That's right.
Tom Brady's going to have a huge say in the running of the Raiders.
I mean, the way that Usher, like, would go to practice every day and yell at LeBron and tell him how he had to work on his crab dribble. I mean, if it wasn't for Usher, I don't know that we would have won a championship.
Yeah, but Usher didn't exactly sit down and call the basketball game after it.
Yeah, but it would have been fun.
He was in that locker room when they were pouring champagne on my head. Thanks, Usher.
Oh, that was a ding. Hold on.
You know, maybe I should put that video out again today.
That's like the loudest ding we could get.
Ding!
There you go.
Hey, Usher, what was it like in here when they were spraying champagne? You want to know? I want to know. What was it like to be there? I'll tell you. Pop, boom, baby.
Ding!
Yes.
Hi, I'm Andy Baskin. I hang with Usher.
You know, I don't know if you know this or not. I was an Usher at one point. Not only did I trained at weddings, but I also worked at the old Lowe's Cedar Center.
All right.
I helped people get to their seats. I had my own little red flashlight. I came up the aisles to collect donations for the Will Rogers Institute.
You were the guy.
I swept popcorn.
Wrapping that flashlight on the chairs, stopping the people from making out in the theater.
Why would I ever do that? Young love is an important part of our society, and I am not here to hinder.
Get fired.
What did I say?
Don't get fired.
Say anything. He brought it up.
It's on the line. You're totally.
That's what Usher and I have in common. I don't know why people have so much trouble understanding that. We are both in the entertainment industry. He sings. Yeah. I help people to their seat. I don't understand. What is the difference? I watch basketball. He owns part of the basketball team. We think.
Okay. That's where we're going.
I might start calling myself Usher now, just to stand out a little bit different.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Lord, man.
Urshur and Phelps.
Oh. Some, oh, help us.
Doesn't have a bad ring to it, actually.
No, it could be worse.
I don't
it
mind
really
that.
Could be worse.
I don't mind that at all. Coming to think of it.
Not a high bar, but I mean, it could
I'm
be
singing,
worse.
I'm singing everybody in the club get tipsy before. Now I'm giving you a little bit of Urshur. I mean, life is good, man. Life is good. Let's not think about Sunday's game. Let's forget about it. Let's turn the page. Let's pretend that those six sacks never happened. Let's pretend that we didn't have any tackles in that game, or that maybe we did.
He's got to stay in the pocket a little bit, doesn't he?
He's got to get rid of the football faster.
Exactly, get rid of the ball.
How many times have we said that? I understand it's part of his game to want to hang on to it and extend the play. If he extends the play and finds some receiver who's open 10 yards down the field that's busted the coverage open and scores a touchdown, just do it once every three games and I'll live with it. And I'll never say, oh, he hangs on to the ball too long. But he's not making the connection to find someone to make extending the play worth it. I watch so many of these plays and I'm like, man, that was a lot of effort for nothing.
For nothing.
Throw it into the stands.
Throw it into the stands. That's the issue when he was in Houston. The one thing that was, you know, he just held on to the football way too long. And with the line the way it was the other day, I don't know. It still kind of befuddles me. I know Dallas was phenomenal on defense. You know, they have a very good D. But the Browns had, I'm going to say four starters out there. DeJuan started most of the year last year and was pretty good. That was Deshaun Watson, Browns quarterback, and a press conference that was prefaced with, all right, we're going to keep this to football. It wasn't just on football.
Right.
So media asking a lot of questions there.
Focus on football. Be better than last week.
Football aspects, we get it. The off-the-field stuff. Folks asked, good for them. Not much there, answer-wise, yeah. Right?
I mean, well, what's he going to say? You know, refer
he
to what?
He said he was surprised.
Refer
said
to
he didn't
resistance.
Know it was coming. That said, the lawyer for the lady who filed Jane the Doe. Civil lawsuit, Tony Busby, who is actually the lawyer for all the other suits as well,
right,
issued a statement while Deshaun was speaking.
Right, and I'm grabbing this right off of Twitter here from Chris Easterling's page, who took a screenshot of Tony Busby's Instagram, so... This is where the statement's coming from. We feel compelled to release this statement based on the innumerable press inquiries we've received. We reached out to attorney Rusty Hardin's office for 10 months in an attempt to resolve this case. We knew this case was the most serious and egregious case brought against Watson to date, and our client, who is rightly traumatized by these events, wanted to attempt a private resolution. We thought that was the best approach given the media storm that occurred surrounding the legion of other claims. Unfortunately, Watson's team, or maybe his lawyers, couldn't or wouldn't give this case the attention it was due. Mr. Hardin, until now, has tried to contact us since we filed suit. Unfortunately, we see that now as too little, too late. But we are officers of the court, and we will give Mr. Hardin and his esteemed team the respect he has earned, and will work with him to progress this case in an efficient manner. With regards to whether Deshaun Watson, quote, knows who this woman is, end quote, I hope that's his defense. He is well aware of what he did. This case is strong, and now that we have filed, we will pursue it with vigor. We have heard from the NFL, and we will respond in due course. Finally, you should know that although I wasn't aware of her claims, Mr. Watson was well aware of this victim and her claims immediately after it occurred, and Watson was again reminded back when we filed the first lawsuit for the other multiple victims, parentheses, I wasn't a part of that, end parentheses. I can understand, given the number of women that Mr. Watson has interacted with, that he could forget some of the women, some or many of them. However, given the nature of the alleged conduct in this case, I expect this incident is something he wouldn't soon forget. We look forward to a trial by jury. That is from Tony Busby, the attorney for the woman in the latest Deshaun Watson lawsuit, posted to Instagram.
Oh, both sides want to go to court.
I was just going to say exactly the same thing. According to Busby, we look forward to a trial by jury. According to Rusty Harden, we'll be ready to defend this case in court. Okay.
All right, so...
they come to a settlement in this one, Andy. There's some funny stuff going on.
Well...
Either that or it's great posturing by both sides.
Well, maybe both sides talk tonight and say, get this over with. Let's go. How much do you want? End of story.
That doesn't mean the NFL doesn't continue to investigate.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
The lawsuit can go away, but the investigation by the NFL will not. They're going to look. And
here we go.
He'll be starting at quarterback Sunday in Jacksonville.
I don't know. It all feels like TMZ to me. I'm going to be honest. We've walked down this road before. We've seen this story in different scenarios play out to the fact of, you know, Watson's suspension from the league. And so now the other thing that's interesting is, like, I hope that what Deshaun said today to the media about, I didn't know until you found out, means, you know.
But Busby's statement completely
erases.
Right.
Erases that. Yeah, well, it doesn't, you know, there's a chance that Deshaun's attorney didn't tell him, I guess. I don't know. How could that be?
Don't know.
I find that hard to believe.
I also find that hard to believe.
Fun! I do know this.
I still want to talk about a lousy running game.
Let's talk about those the miscues at left tackle. How's that sound?
Don't blame him. James is just trying to do a job. All the pass rush didn't come from just that spot. All the tackles didn't come from around that side. Are we allowed to talk about a lousy running game?
Probably not. Probably because most people want to talk about the fact that now we've got attorneys that are we don't want to play this out in the press, but yet we're both going to release.
By golly, here statements you go. Today. Here's our statement. Here's ours.
10 months, he said they've been trying to reach out to him.
We reached out for 10 months. Yeah, not 10 months ago.
And then
reached out to Rusty Harden for 10 months.
They tried to negotiate $1 million, right? Isn't that what it said in the original in the filing? It said that.
I heard that dollar figure thrown around. I don't know where it. Well,
Florio said it again yesterday too. So okay. This is the life of a Browns fan. Drama. That's what it is.
Gosh, I want to talk about the lousy running game.
I do too, but it's not.
I don't mean to laugh. The allegation's clearly not funny, but the situation is just, oh my goodness. Okay.
I still think it's interesting that the league is investigating now, and it does sound like they're opening it up as a new case.
And as Tony Busby said, talking about this case, the most serious and egregious case brought against Watson to date, which is why this investigation by the NFL might be very different than the other ones. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.